I'm Lou Boston. I'm an alcoholic.
Hallelujah.
Hi, everybody. And I was telling Bill today, this is a hard crowd to talk to. This is like talking at Fun Fest or something. You know, the people here are serious about their sobriety, and it means a lot to them, and that means a lot to me. And the tradition we're going to look at tonight is tradition 2. And it says, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. That's a mouthful. Now, I'll give you a little background about traditions. On April 2nd, 1840, at Chase's Tavern in Baltimore, Maryland, a man named Anderson said to the other five men with whom he was drinking, let's form our own temperance society. That means let's quit drinking. That was the birth of the Washingtonians. It grew by leaps and bounds, just like Alcoholics Anonymous has over the years. Started from what do we have now? 2 million, two and a half million, something like that worldwide. By the late 1840s, it had over 40,000 members. By 1850, the movement was, for all purposes, dead. And we don't want that happening in Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't. Alcoholics Anonymous saved my life. On any given day, I'm usually happy, joyous, and free. I have made friendships that I never thought possible. And I've been places that I never thought I could possibly go. It means a lot to me. What blew this group apart? Please keep these reasons in mind as you hear the traditions discussed. Its members were flamboyantly public. Now, Dick talked about modern day, you know, how you relate it to the day stuff. Well, we have people, and I've seen them on TV and places like that, talk about, you know, movie stars, celebrities talk about how good they're doing staying sober, and that's flamboyantly public, in my opinion. By the way, when I do give you an opinion, I will say it is. They collected money from all sources and had much internal friction over financial problems. We could probably do that pretty easily here. They split into fragments by getting involved in political, social, and religious issues. It was a big ego trip for most members. We don't have big egos in Alcoholics Anonymous. Egos always compete. Grateful humility does not compete. On the plus side, the big attraction of the Washingtonians was that they showed nobody can help a suffering alcoholic the way a sober alcoholic can. You know, you've heard of planting seeds, that might have been it, you know, along the way. And I looked up in my dictionary, and I used the Merriam-Webster College Dictionary because I went to college recently, and the definition of tradition, and this is kind of a paradox. The handing down of beliefs and customs by word of mouth or by example without written instruction. Therein lies the paradox. We have written instructions. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous is full of paradoxes, so we have written instruction. A belief or custom thus handed down, an inherited pattern of thought or action. Our trusted servants, for the most part, are excellent leaders. We all know that. Their aim is the same as yours, mine, and the group's, to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. That's still the primary purpose of every AA group. Ideally, as years pass, and I'm reading right now from, I did a lot of research with the World Service, and they sent me some pamphlets and stuff from the archives and things like that. So that's basically what I'm into now. Most of what I'll do tonight is reading. And Ideally, as years pass, those leaders stay active and become elder statesmen. You all have seen that in tradition 2 in the 12 and 12, where it mentions elder statesmen, and throughout this I will mention it again. The old-timers have usually been credited with producing some bleeding deacons. Know any of those? But lately, I am amazed at the short length of time it takes for the bleeding deacons to surface. Yeah, I think it's true. And the book is so right, a few are so consumed with self-pity and hemorrhage so badly that drained of all AA, spirit and principle, they get drunk. I've seen that. With unity, our ultimate authority can give us our group conscience. Though there may be doubts along the way, the problems work out as they should. The example and wisdom of the humble prevail and emerge is the true voice of Alcoholics Anonymous. All right, this next part I've taken from AA Comes of Age. It's a very good source of reference. If you don't have one, I suggest you get one. I meet with a group of guys on Wednesday, and all of them own an AA Comes of Age. They all bought them about the same time, but, you know, they all bought one. It's a real funny story behind it, too. We were meeting together to talk about traditions. Now, I'm going to talk about traditions, but we were meeting together to study the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the steps in it, and we were just a bunch of guys that I sponsored and a couple they sponsored. It was a private, you know, it was private. It was held in someone's home. It wasn't a meeting. It wasn't anything like that. Just like this is not an AA meeting. And so we decided we'd look at the three legacies. So we looked at AA Comes of Age. And one of our members went by to pick up a book. And they were just, it was the last one, wasn't it, Chris? I think so. And the gal said, "You must belong to that exclusive group." And we got a big kick out of that. But someone had gone in there and told them that there's a group of guys meeting down there and won't let anybody else in, you know. Well, the reason we wouldn't let anybody else in, we couldn't get 10 in the house, you know. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's just a little aside, but... We AAs learn the principle of this tradition the hard way. Few obstacles have been tougher to remove than those blocked the realization that AA's group conscience can be the only ultimate authority in our affairs. Now, if I know from time to time I've been in groups. I go to one in Florida. They've got an ultimate authority. When we go down there fishing, they have an ultimate authority. He's there every time, leading the group every time I've ever been. Now, I'm sure he makes the coffee. He handles all the business of the group and everything. And we had one of our members was talking about doing the fifth step, and he told a girl sitting beside her, said, "You don't have to, in so many words, you don't have to listen to this. You can do it your own way, you know." And to me, that's a bleeding deacon. You know, I think that's what we need to recognize. You know, how do I recognize the two? Old-timers believe their experience, leadership, and guidance had brought new members into the new life, which is true. But do you treat them forever? You know, the group conscience will prevail. Looked upon it as a vested right. You know. Now, this is Bill, you know, writing that, and I'm sure many of them did think, you know, if I bring you in and I'm sponsoring you, I take you through the steps, I'll tell you what to do. And I think that still goes on today. But remember that the group conscience will always prevail. Where does AA get its direction? Sole authority in AA is loving God. Formation of a group, growing pains, rotating committees are servants of the group. Leaders do not govern, they serve. Does AA have real leadership? The elder statesmen and bleeding deacons. the group conscious speaks throughout. Now, in Bill Wilson going on, you know, and he's writing in the 12 and 12, and I'm quoting from the 12 and 12 now, and, you know, he said, growing pains begin to beset the group. And when I say beset, you know it's Bill Wilson, you know. Panhandles panhandle. And I've seen that. Lonely hearts pine. Some of us get into that. problems descend like an avalanche. Still more important, murmurs are heard in the body politic, which swell into a loud cry. Do these old-timers think they can run this group forever? Let's have an election. Anybody ever heard that? How many of you are on a steering committee, have been a GSR, have held some sort of office in AA? Raise your hand. Just about. Or ever been on a steering committee? Whether you're on it now or not, ever been on one. I'm looking around looking at somebody and I'm asking if they've ever been on it and they're not raising their hand. But anyway, most all of us have served in some capacity or other. You know, how did we get that service? Have you ever noticed, and this is opinion, somebody will complain a lot about how the group is run, how it's going on, and you give them a job and they don't want it. They don't want anything to do with it. Yeah. Now that's a bleeding deacon, yeah, I would think. So after the election, the founder and his friends are hurt and depressed. I've seen a fight in an AA meeting before. An old timer. Right after that meeting, I changed my home group affiliation. Wasn't because of the fight. I thought that was kind of good. You know? Yeah. But it was a matter that needed to be handled differently. The traditions weren't adhered to. And don't get me wrong, I had another... It was about smoking and not smoking. So I went somewhere where I could smoke. But, you know, I'm not that. But, you know, it was not handled right. And I think I would have probably stayed had it not been. And, you know, that's neither here nor there. But those things hurt. You know, you get hurt and depressed. They rush from crisis to crisis, from member to member, pleading, but it's no use. The revolution is on. The group conscious has taken over. Elections come. If served well, they are reinstated. And he's talking about the old timers. Yeah. I was making a comment today, and this is merely an opinion, and I was talking to two very wise people, Joe Coulter and Bill Crawford, you know, I think we have the best of all the worlds here in Charlotte. In researching these traditions, you had your Eastern band led by Bill Wilson. You had your Cleveland band led by Dr. Bob. And somehow or another, I think the best of both filtered into this area here in the Bible Belt. And I think we, you know, in traveling around going to meetings, I think we're more traditional than anywhere I've ever been, just to be quite frank. I was at a group Tuesday night. This is a new phenomenon we've seen recently. But I was at a group Tuesday night. When we said amen after the Lord's Prayer, there wasn't anything but a couple grunts. They almost said something, but they didn't say anything. And that's phenomenal to me. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with chanting for 15 minutes after you say amen, or what words you use. I tried, in doing the research, I was going to try to get some views from some of the youth, the Nicky Paul people, you know, and I called down there today to try to find somebody, and they'd had a big fire. And by the way, they had a fire in a group office today. And, you know, how can we keep attracting these young people? You know, how can we? You know, traditions are something, you heard me read the tradition, the definition of tradition. How can we keep attracting these young people? You know, when they're there and they like that. They like the chanting, they like the all that stuff. How can we keep it on track so just like it was done for us? I like I'll quote Crawford a lot, but what he said today, he said, "I believe Dr. Bob and Bill died on the cross for us. All the pain they endured." You know, Dr. Bob had the obsession or the compulsion to drink for 2 years after he got sober. All that. Bill Wilson was chronically depressed all the time. All that pain they went through for us. Why can't we leave it as it's written? You know, these young people are going to get older, and they may find the chanting of, whatever, okay. You know, things can get changed. Here again, this is an opinion. This is, nothing new. But, it was sure good when I got here because it's kept me in fold and so I want it to be, I want to leave it that way if I possibly can. That's an opinion. If the old timers have served well, they usually get reelected. If they have resisted democracy, they may not. Rotating committees have short limits on their authorities. You can't get to be too guru if you got to rotate. Members cannot direct group; they are servants. Sometimes a thankless privilege in doing group's chores is being a trusted servant. You know, who's ever made coffee before? Yeah. It's a thankless privilege. That's the first job I ever had in AA. Probably the same is true for you. Now, this is a little bit about the government of the thing. The chair, the treasurer, the secretary merely run the business of the meetings and of the group. They give no spiritual advice. Normally, and judges no one's conduct normally. Yeah. Issues no orders normally. Every one of them could be promptly eliminated at the next election, if you have elections. They discover they are servants, not senators. These are universal experiences. Thus, throughout AA, does the group conscience decree the terms upon which its leaders shall serve? Does AA have real leadership? Most emphatically, yes. Old-timers and group gurus break up into two classes, and that two classes is the elder statesman and the bleeding deacon. Now, Bill describes the elder statesman in the 12 and 12 is the one who sees the wisdom of the group's decision, who holds no resentment over his reduced status, whose judgment, fortified by considerable experience, is sound, and who is willing to sit quietly on the sidelines, patiently awaiting developments. Are you an elder statesman? Can you play that role? The bleeding deacon is one who just as surely convinced that the group can't get along without him. Who constantly connives for re-election to office and who continues to be consumed with self-pity. Some get drunk. I've seen that. Nearly every old-timer in our society has gone, and I've got this underlined, so it must be important. Nearly every old-timer in our society has gone through the process in some degree as that of a bleeding deacon. Now, I look around out there, and I know that some of you haven't, but, this is Bill Wilson talking. So we have all probably ever been through a period where you couldn't be told anything, and the group, just absolutely needed you and all that, and I'm sure that we can all answer that in the affirmative. But here we are sitting in here and being serious about sobriety. So apparently it works. You know, it doesn't. They become the real and permanent leadership after going through those stages. Theirs is the quiet opinion. I underline that. Quiet. I think we miss out on that sometimes. The sure knowledge and humble example that resolve crisis. When sorely perplexed, the group inevitably turns to them for advice. You got one like that in your group? If you don't, get one. You know, there should be one. Hopefully there is. We have several in our group. That group I go to on Tuesday and Thursday has some real good ones. Tuesday and Saturday, excuse me. They become the voice of the group conscious. In fact, these are the two voices of Alcoholics Anonymous. They do not drive my mandate, they lead by example. This is the experience which has led us to the conclusion that our group conscious, well advised by its elders, will be in the long run wiser than any single leader. And Bill Wilson describes AA, and when you talk about elder statesman, bleeding deacon, and you know the group conscious, he describes AA as a benign anarchy. Now, I went to my Webster's College Dictionary, and I looked up anarchy. And it says a social structure without law and order, or utter confusion. And benign means of gentle disposition, showing kindness. So we have a gentle, kind, utter confusion. And that's as Bill Wilson described it. Social structure without law and order. You know. We're not going. How many of us have you ever seen would like to be told what to do? Any of you sitting in here, think about it. A group elects its own officers. Who have no power to order anybody to do anything. In most groups, most of the slate rotates out of office at the end of 6 months, and new officers are elected. If a group wants to be part of the whole AA service structure, this is key. If you want to be part of the AA service structure, you must do certain things, you know, to make a triangle, you know. It elects a GSR for a two-year term. Now, this comes out of 12 Traditions Illustrated. This is GSRs elect area committee members, DCMs, and then join them in electing a delegate from their area to the annual General Service Conference. How many of you know who our state delegate is today? We just recently had a change. Anybody know who it is? I'm asking. Renee knows.
I know.
Yeah, no. No, I needed my coffee. I don't care about sweating. Oh, who put it up there? Who is it, Renee?
Art D.
Yeah. Everybody knows Art D. That's a big job, and we'll talk about that later on in this. You know, it's an honor to be elected to that. We had the one last year talk at our home group about a year ago. the last person in office. That's, yeah, that's a pretty big deal. Have any of you know that? I know Wendy knows it because she's a big part of it. But, you know, how many of you know the structure? You know, what's, if you don't, get to know it. Thank you, Mike. The conference is about the closest approximation of a government that AA has, you know, in the general sense. Now, in the state level, they have a, oh, God, there it goes again. Huh? They meet when Fun Fest meets. What's that?
Assembly.
Yeah, you know. And they bump heads with Fun Fest. But they do that at the state level, and from that assembly, they elect a group delegate every year. You know, so get to know the. Sounds like I know it real well, doesn't it? Get to know why, you know, where this, the government of this thing, which is very, you know, like he says, you know, this, the conference is about the closest approximation of government that AA has. It produces opinions on important matters of policy. It approves the choice of some trustee nominees for the General Service Board and directly elects others. Does anybody know what constitutes the General Service Board?
Sure.
There's some, Lindy?
I think there are 14 alcoholic trustees and 7 non-alcoholic.
Yeah, I think. And that's about, I thought it was, there were more non-alcoholics than.
That could be.
Yeah, it's.
They're non-alcoholics.
But part of the board is made up of non-alcoholics. And, they keep us in line, you know. But neither the conference nor the board can give orders to any AA group or member. You know, every group is autonomous. You can run it any way you want to run it, as long as it doesn't harm AA as a whole. And so that's why you have different, you know, you go to Queen City and they do a speaker meeting on Monday and Friday, you know. You go to across the alley there to Myers Park, they do a discussion on Monday and Friday, you know, so they don't have to be alike. And that's a kind analogy there, you know. You can run any group, as long as the group conscience is dictating, can run the group like they want to, you know, as long as it doesn't hurt AA as a whole. I looked up autonomous, and it means having the right or power of self-government. So each group is autonomous. Who's in charge? It's a question. AA is a spiritual movement. And so the ultimate authority is the spiritual concept of the group conscious. Now, I looked up ultimate, and there were several meanings, and one was most remote in space and time. Furthest, you know, ultimate, far as you can go. That's the ultimate. Two was last in progression, the final. And three was extreme, utmost. Four, finally reckoned. Five, fundamental, absolute, supreme, in reality, incapable of further analysis or division. Ultimate authority is. So our ultimate authority here in Alcoholics Anonymous is a loving God, as he may express himself in group conscious. Okay, and I looked up authority. Authority one appealed to as an expert. Power to influence thought or behavior. The result of the informed decision rests on more than arithmetic, a yes and no count, always. Minority ideas get thoughtful attention. Is that true in your group? Does minority ideas get thoughtful? That's what I want, you know. Now, Bill Wilson will say something later on over here, you know, but do minority ideas get thought? I'll tell you the experience I've had. Now, think about this. I've had people come, they didn't like the way the group was running, so, you know, they weren't doing enough, so I give them a job. They didn't complain about the group anymore. Didn't ask for a group conscience or anything. You know, just wanted to be part. And I understand that. You know. Is that how minority opinions are handled? If we practice this tradition in its truest form, I don't think so. You know. We'd call more group conscious meetings. How many of you enjoy group conscious meetings? You get 50 drunks in a room and try to get a consensus on something. You don't want to do that every week. Yeah. You'll have a fight by two 75-year-old men if you don't want it. I've seen it. And, but I think a group conscious from time to time, if things are not suitable to you, I think you have every right to see the leadership, even if your opinion is minority, because it says so. Right here, Bill Wilson says, you know, minority ideas get thoughtful attention. Doesn't say you might put your idea to work or anything, but it says we'll look at it. We're that much of a democracy. What about the annoying character? What about the annoying character? And this, he used a gender reference here. This is me quoting, so don't get. What about the annoying character who's always sure she's right? You know. Do we listen to her? No, I didn't tell you that. This is not me. Do we listen to her? Yes. Better listen. Yeah. She might be right. Yeah, so we better listen. Any of you got any annoying characters who think she's always right? I don't know. You know.
I was
one time. Right one time or always?
One time.
Oh, okay.
She's a she that's
always. Okay.
Chicken Lou only had to be right once.
If she's wrong, then she will, and I underline this, and this is for all of us, and I think this is real important. If we are wrong, and if we remember, you know, we don't have real good memories, you know, when it comes right down to it. She remembers the first tradition, or we remember the first tradition as well as the second, you know, if we're wrong. You know, let's keep the unity there. Go along with the decision of the group conscience. And I think here again, I'm going to talk about Charlotte, North Carolina. I think we're very blessed that that has occurred, you know, in most groups, that the group conscience will normally prevail. And I think that's why the AA is so good in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's not to say that there's anything wrong with that guy being everything at that group we go to in Florida. If that may be the group conscious, he may be the only one that'll do it. Because we run into that from time to time. You know, there's some people just won't do anything. And they've been around a long time. I don't understand it, but they just won't. Does this notion seem too cloudy? Let's think back to our first meetings. Think back to your first meetings. I can recall, and I'd love to hear this story from all. I can recall going to Queen City after I got out of treatment, and the secretary of the group, I was in awe of him as if he were somebody like, who was president at the time? President Reagan making a speech. That's how I was in awe. This must be the smartest man in Charlotte. You know, to stand in front of a crowd like this and have all this power. And I got there at probably the first of the month, and he was secretary during that month. And I knew it was always the same. I was just in awe of this person, the secretary of the group. When that month was over, I bet I didn't see him five times since then. And that was all pretty close to that month. And here was someone, in my perception, I put on, this was the deal. That's the job I wanted. And that's what I'm thinking of, you know. He could have told me to anything on this earth, and I would have probably done it. He didn't know he had that kind of power. And I'm sure a lot of you thought the same thing, you know. And but the old-timers were people that were sitting around the who were giving you the quiet opinion and everything. The ones we go to when we need a little more knowledge. The presence we newcomers felt in those rooms was the same on the group conscious. Does that make sense? The presence we felt as newcomers were the same as on the group conscious. And it was real. Welcoming us in, setting up no barriers or rules. You know, I can recall many of you coming in. I can recall, I'm looking out there and I see people who probably couldn't have crapped in Yankee Stadium when they walked in the door. They were, you know, and you're sitting out there. That in itself was, you know. And I also did a little more, and Lenny, I don't know if I can make an hour, you know, so you could be off the hook. Remember, last week is the one. That's the one you need. All this other stuff is, when you get back to it, is the important one was last week. Intimidation that I feel between Dick Wright and Bryant Bivens, you know. You'll hear some opinions next week. So. Anybody know anything about the 12 concepts of Alcoholics Anonymous? Is it in your vocabulary? Crawford, who else? That was good for y'all. Crawford, he's a good historian too, just like Dick. And he said it was a big thing for a while. When
it first came out.
When was that? Yeah. Wasn't in my vocabulary, but doing this research, I was reading a lot of people, and most of it was from the Eastern band, you know, the people from Falling Bill Wilson. They would talk about the 12 concepts a lot. And really what it is, it's kind of like a service manual or a manual. I saw Teddy carrying one around for a long time. Anybody remember when Teddy used to carry that book under his arm? Get a hold of that book and read it, it'll tell you. But those books are available. Yeah, they're available at the World Service, General Service Office. They're available. And you can call them. They'll send you that stuff. But this is Concept 9, and it said, good service leaders, together with sound and appropriate methods of choosing them, are at all levels indispensable for our future functioning and safety. A key word. Good leaders at all levels. And that begins at the group and goes all the way up through, are indispensable for our future functioning and safety. Good leadership cannot function well and properly. Good leadership cannot function well in a poorly designed structure. Weak leadership can hardly function at all, even in the best of structures. No society can function well without able leadership in all its levels, and AA can be no exception. Fortunately, our society is blessed with any amount of real leadership. The active people of today and the potential leaders of tomorrow, as each new generation of able members swarms in, we have an abundance of men and women whose dedication, stability, vision, and special skills make them capable of dealing with every possible service assignment. We have only to seek these folks out and trust them to serve us. Good leadership never passes the buck. I keep looking at somebody back there, and I want to make sure he hears that. Once assured that he has or can obtain sufficient general backing, it freely takes decisions and puts them into action forthwith, provided, of course, that such actions be within the framework of its defined authority and responsibility. Another qualification for leadership is give and take. Now, I saw this. It's worded a little differently. The ability to compromise cheerfully. Do you compromise cheerfully? No. Do you have the ability? Probably. But do you do it? You know, think about it. The ability to compromise cheerfully whenever a proper compromise can cause a situation to progress in what appears to be the right direction. That's a lot to say, isn't it? We cannot, however, compromise always. Don't compromise this. Don't compromise AA's values. Now and then, it's truly necessary to stick flat-footed to one's convictions about an issue until it is settled. Yeah, I think we'll do that. Our leaders do not drive my mandate. They lead by example. That's key. If you're sitting in this room tonight, you're probably a leader in Alcoholics Anonymous. Lead by example. We talk about this a lot. The guys I sponsor, I am responsible for people both in and out. You know, I'm responsible too. If I'm to be of maximum service to God and those about me, that doesn't include just those in this the AA fellowship. It's people outside of this program. Because you're a member too, and I can't go around showing my butt because it may make a bad reflection on you. And if they can attract him enough, it's kind of like, I think it's this, the group conscious really prevailed when I was talking about this meeting the other night, on Tuesday night, where there was nothing said after the prayer. All of a sudden it just happened, didn't it, Sled? It was looked at it once. Nobody told anybody not to do it. All of a sudden it just became unacceptable. I think that's the way you do things here in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, do it right and it will prevail. We say to them, act for us, but do not boss us. You heard Dick talk about the anvil of experience. You know, the AA is hammered out on, the traditions are hammered out on the anvil of experience. And if you have the February grapevine, this is where I'm getting this from, and this is just some personal experiences from some people. And this girl saying, I had considerable difficulty getting past the words yield and work cheerfully. in the discussion of Tradition 2 and the Grapevine's Traditions Checklist. What was being asked was, can I yield in good spirit to the group conscience and work cheerfully along with it? Of course I can, as long as everyone sees things my way. Of course, once upon a time, my first home group was mine in every meaning of that possessive. Yeah. I set up the hall, greeted people, read out the intergroup notice, controlled the treasury, threw a heck of an anniversary party, live band and all, but that's another story. Dictated who chaired and who spoke. Anybody relate to that? The informed group conscious of Tradition 2 was peppered with new phrases. Right of decision, power of the purse, prudence, no punitive action, the minority voice, substantial unanimity, the self-restraint encouraged in step 10 becomes less of a battle as time goes by. The self-restraint in step 10. And here's another little thing from the February Grapevine. It said, Bill Wilson repeatedly stressed that headquarters was not the boss. The groups were, and still are. Problem is, we don't know it. Now, why do we alcoholics who don't like anyone telling us what to do persist on asking an AA entity to tell us what to do? We're mad about that. How many of you, when you were new, would go to your sponsor and ask them about something of grave, you know, important? And he'd tell you, give you the solution, you'd say, well, I better ask old so-and-so. Any of you guilty of that? We don't like rules, regulations, or mandates. That comes as a surprise. But sometimes we want a rule or two to enforce on someone else and justify our own position. Yeah. Have you ever heard the statement, did you see what that SOB did tonight? Why do you think he's there? If you, And of course, that's where we meet. You know, being an officer in a group, sometimes you get funny requests from good AA members, but it might not necessarily mean the group conscious. You know, it's hard to do sometimes. In his September 1945 Grapevine article titled Rules Dangerous But Unity Vital, it's reprinted in the language of the heart, by the way, Bill Wilson writes that rules and regulations seem to be little good for us. Were we to proceed by rules, somebody would have to make them, and more difficult still, somebody would have to enforce them. We don't do well at, enforcing rules or making them. He adds that in AA, human authority, that's our problem, human authority. Be it ever so impartial or benign, seldom works long or well in our affairs. And this person's saying that's the problem, human authority. We resisted it then and still do today because we've come to believe in an ultimate authority as expressed in our group conscience. And here's another one that says, power to the powerless. And this guy's saying, the first mistake I can recall having to do with Tradition 2 was placing the leaders of my home group on a pedestal and expecting them to be perfect. I mentioned that a while ago. Yeah. one thing I heard early, and I don't know, probably Crawford said it, you know, leaders have feet of clay. You know, we're all alcoholics. You know, we shouldn't be placed on a pedestal. I'll take the post. You know, if you'll do it, I can do that pretty easily. But you know, I think it happens, and that was one of the first mistakes this guy made. He said, "I thought they were authorities in AA." I thought the same. You know, I thought these are the people. I wanted the president's job. I wanted, you know. Any organization, you know, he writes this. Everybody else, you know, the leaders had the power in organization. You know, remember what I described as, you know, what we are? Utter confusion. So there's nothing organized about us. But in any organization, which we all come familiar with, we're familiar with organization when we get here. The leaders have the power. In AA, we're all powerless. That's the first step we, you know, that's the first thing we say. We're powerless. So if we don't have any power. We're all powerless. Our guidance must come from a higher power. Another early mistake was thinking that a group conscience was always a majority vote. That AA was a democracy and the majority rules. That's not necessarily true. But they go on to say, you know, two-thirds is usually a good idea. It doesn't have to be majority, but two-thirds, which is majority vote. And he goes on and says, but this tradition doesn't say the ultimate authority is the majority opinion. Sometimes our higher power speaks through the minority voice in such a compelling way that the group conscience becomes clear, even to those who think just the opposite. I've had that happen. Perhaps the most important lesson I have learned about tradition too involves a word not even mentioned in it. Responsibility. And I took the liberty to look up responsibility. So I went to responsibility, and it says the quality or state of being responsible. So that means I have to go look up responsible, which I did. And it said answerable, reliable, trustworthy, able to choose from one step between right and wrong. Responsibility. Tradition 2 brings me back to the basics, no matter what responsibility I have, no matter what trust is placed in me or I place in others, our ultimate authority is a higher power as expressed in the group conscious. My job is to share, to listen, and to serve. And I'm going to quote someone that is near and dear to me. And he says, I say all of that to say this. And I'm closing with this. Almost an hour landing. Grant us grace to unite in essentials, to accept diversity in non-essentials, and to love one another in all things. You may have heard a little different slant on that last week. Same words, same. And that's a quote also. Thank you. And are there any questions? We you know, it's up to the presenter to present any questions. Anybody have any questions? If we'll all try to answer them. Anything that you've seen thus far that you might not be real sure about in traditions 1 and 2. If there's not, I thank you for being attentive. Let's say the Lord's Prayer.